Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial or corporate marketplace. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to nvbdc.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center, and in particular, it's after the impact program goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. And finally, we want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, we want to welcome a new sponsor to the program, which is Veterans Business Outreach Center, which is located in Flint, Michigan, and covers Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. The center is ran and operated by veterans to help other veterans, National Guard, Reserve, spouses, expand and grow businesses. You can find more about them by going to vetbizcentral.org, 810-252-6200. And now on to our programs. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Rachel Jackson. Rachel is an Army veteran who served about 10 years, both enlisted at West Point and ultimately in the Army itself, active duty. Rachel, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we're glad to have you on to talk about your military career and a really interesting business that you have up and running. I should mention that Rachel Jackson is the CEO of Tribal App, a digital platform that helps leaders and organizations build stronger, more inclusive, and innovative teams through stories that inspire, resources that equip, and relationships that empower. And she does all this out of Huntsville, Alabama. And you're going to say to yourself, she doesn't sound like she's from Huntsville. Tell us a little bit about the beginnings, Rachel, before getting into the Army and what you did and all of that.
Yeah, so I was born in Colorado. I grew up in three different states, Colorado, California, and Virginia. And then my mom called the Army recruiter when I was 17 years old, and that's how I found myself in the Army.
You know, and we've all threatened our kids with this, but your mom really did it.
She really did it. I don't think she, I think she had, well, she told me she had pictures of World War II secretaries typing away in the background when she called the recruiter. She didn't expect me to do what I ended up doing, but yeah, it was something that I needed. I needed the discipline and I needed the Army.
Well, you know, good for your mom to say, look, and, I've got to set this girl on a good path, and maybe this is the best way to set that path. That making that decision is courageous all the way around.
Absolutely. And I have definitely promised my kids with the same fate.
you've threatened them. Good, good. That's I think we all learn those skills in the military.
I don't think it's a threat so much as a promise.
So how did you make the transition, an unusual transition, from a couple of years enlisted over to West Point and ultimately to an Apache helicopter pilot? So give us a little bit of that story.
Yeah, so when I was at AIT for satellite communications, it's a longer AIT down in Fort Gordon, Georgia, I met a friend who was applying to West Point. He was in my class, and at that time I had never heard about West Point, believe it or not. There was no congressional recommendation or nomination in my future for sure, right? So I went through what's called the command referral process, and with my friend, and we had our commander kind of walk us through the steps, and I was accepted to the West Point prep school, and he got straight in, but I needed to work on my math scores from my SAT. So I went to the prep school, and then once you graduate from the prep school, then you get an automatic appointment to West Point. And so I feel very grateful and blessed to have that opportunity. I loved West Point. There were, of course, hardships and challenges, but I found myself thriving there. I ended up getting my degree in physics and nuclear engineering, but I'd say that with a grain of salt, because I called my dad and said I wanted to major in history, and he told me, Rachel, you did not go to West Point to get a non-engineering degree.
That's right. It's famous for its engineering programs. Please don't get a soft science course. For somebody who had to go to the prep school to brush up on their math SATs, getting through the engineering and nuclear engineering and physics programs was a lot of hard work. You'd be commended.
Well, thank you. It was I had really great instructors and a really great group of friends to get through.
How did you find yourself over to aviation and Apache helicopters?
Yeah, so your senior year, you get to choose your branch based on your class rank. And I had picked aviation as my top branch, and I was lucky enough to get it. So I got aviation, went to flight school, and also at flight school, you get to choose your helicopter that you fly based on class rank, but then also the slots or the aircraft that are available based on the needs of the Army. And my class had two Apache slots, and I was lucky to get my first choice, which was Apache.
So all of us who've been there are reading luck for hard work, so we know what you're really saying. to get that spot, it's not luck, it's hard work. That's what's making the luck here. And so more obviously training in flying helicopters, and tell us about your duty assignments.
Yes, so my first and sadly, or however you want to call it, last duty station after Fort Rucker was the Fort Hood. I was stationed with the 1st Cav Division, first of the 227th out there. So I was stationed with them for about 2 years. When I got there, the unit was just returning from Iraq, and then we were preparing to return back to Iraq the following year. So that was my duty. Station was Fort Hood, and I went to Iraq in 2006 with the 1st Cav.
And unfortunately, shortly thereafter, you allude to it, and I'll just mention it quickly so we can move through this segment on it. You developed some medical conditions, brain lesions, nerve damage, optical issues, degenerative disc. I mean, a whole list of things are falling apart.
Turns out I started blacking out for no reason in Iraq. Turns out they don't like pilots to do that, so. I was grounded and sent back stateside, and within about 6-7 months found myself discharged, and going through that process, actually struggling through a lot of depression because of it. My entire identity was wrapped up in Apache helicopter pilot, and have that completely ripped away from you and completely out of your control. I felt shamed, honestly, because, as soldiers, you feel like you don't feel quite good enough when you're struggling with a some kind of weakness that you can't control. And so that was very difficult for me to go through. But I know that God called me to go through these experiences and obtain this warrior heart and warrior spirit and I believe for a different purpose in life. And so on the other side of that hardship, I'm very grateful for the story.
And this is this transition is very difficult for many service members. Doesn't matter how it comes about. Probably more traumatic, as you say, when you're medically discharged and you sort of feel ashamed as well. But in 2007, this happens, and all of a sudden, your world's turned upside down. How do you talk to us about that movement through, you know, finding who Rachel Jackson, veteran, is as compared to Apache helicopter pilot?
Yeah, you know, so honestly, there were just times where I was like, you know, God, what are you doing? I don't know what my civilian value is. I don't know what my civilian story is going to be. And really, that's kind of where I found myself in this valley, just learning how to lean on and rely on. Obviously, I have a strong faith in Jesus, and learning to get to know him and trust him. It was kind of crazy how it just started coming through, you know, and not everybody's journey works out like this, but I had, you know, a physics professor call me from West Point and say, "Hey, Rachel, just got a call from SAIC looking for a junior officer getting out with a degree in physics and nuclear engineering." Like, I only know one.
You said, so, "Thank God, Dad, I didn't get the history degree."
I know, right? So I ended up getting a job with SAIC, moving to Huntsville, Alabama. You know, and it sounds all rosy, but there's, you know, about 4 or 5 year period where, like, literally I was in almost constant communication with God for strength, for wisdom to, you know, just keep moving forward. And I got married, I had a child, and then I actually ended up working for the government as a civilian. You know, and then in 2010, my mom passed away and things changed again.
Well, I think there's that, you know, you mentioned it and I want to back up to it. There was 4 or 5 years where you're sort of in that dark valley. And I think all too often everybody thinks, well, I'm going to get out and everything's going to be rosy. But it really does take years to, sometimes for many people, I say it's 6 or 7 years, to get through all of that other stuff and be able to get on the other side. And it seems to me that faith and family was really important to you to get through that dark valley. Talk to us a little bit of, you know, about your mom who put you into the Army and during that period has her own challenges and her own way of coping with them that I think builds on your strong foundation of faith and family.
Yeah, well, my mom, she struggled with a lot of things to the day she died. But the one thing she did was she loved the Lord. And he was able to use her in her story, no matter where she was. And for the last 7 years of her life, she spent in and out of hospital rooms and basically bedridden. But when people would come see her, the first thing she would say is, "Now, honey, do you love Jesus?" And so I knew that she was a warrior at some level, and that God was using her, and that was comforting. But for me, you know, I mean, we all have things that we carry around, you know, whether it's guilt or fear or shame or pride or whatever it is, you know, there's some kind of thing that we got to get through to get to the other side of, you know, what God would have for us in our next chapters. And it's so important to surround yourself with advocates, with champions, with people who can speak into your life, who can offer hope and help and purpose to you, and who can kind of coach you and cheer you on. And I found that, you know, in various people, really close friends, you know, my husband, just, you know, my tribe, so to speak, who surrounded me and who just kind of walked with me and just helped me get to the next day. And it wasn't so dark all the time, you know, it's just, God just had some big calls on my life, on my heart.
Well, and I want to get to talking about Tribal App, but I think we have to do justice with, so you got out in 2007 by about, I think it's 2012, you've started Shattered Media. Couple of years later, it's evolved into Community Journal, and around 2018, so now we're 10 or 11 years after you're out, you're starting this tribal app program, raising all kinds of money, doing great things to launch this business. But talk to us about what you were searching for, something in terms of the right business for where you should be going as an entrepreneur during that period between 2012 and, say, 2018. Tell us what you were searching for.
Well, when my mom passed away in 2010, I actually went through a really difficult crisis in my faith where I really struggled to reconcile the reality of God and heaven with the current reality that I was living at that time. And I actually really struggled to believe in God. And I found myself, you know, I come to really depend on him. So not being able to believe in him fully was difficult for me. And so for about a 3-month period, all I could pray is, you know, God, help me believe. And what he did is he walked me through my story and all the times that he had been with me. And at the end of about a 3-month period, I said, okay, I believe in you because I've experienced you. I know you because I've experienced you. And I never looked back. But at the end of that period, he said, Rachel, I want you to reach people who need hope, help, and purpose. He said, I want you to do it, and you're going to do it through stories, and you're going to do through relationships, and relationships are going to move people to action. And he said, you're going to reach millions. And so I didn't know what to do, but I started a blog. I realized there's 600 million blogs with a new one created every half second, and nobody cared what I had to say. Moved on to a magazine called Shattered Magazine in 2012. We raised $7,000 in a Kickstarter campaign to print our first issue. And we, by the grace of God, printed Shattered Magazine for 3 years. We got picked up by Barnes & Noble and Books A Million with our first issue, turned down by some Christian publishers, you know. But we didn't ever start to reach the millions. And so I didn't feel like I had reached my calling. And so we started thinking about digital platform. But when I started this company, or when I started business, you know, first of all, I was a person with a mission, not just trying to be an entrepreneur, you know. And when I started the business, I only had a BlackBerry. I didn't even know what a iPhone or, you know.
I was gonna ask. Okay, you're an engineering grad from West Point, but that doesn't mean you know anything about digital platforms and social media that are evolving so quickly.
Yeah.
Why did you think you could do this?
I studied. I have really, really studied. I've studied a lot of data, a lot of research. I think that's what physics did for me. Was it taught me how to do a lot of studying and a lot of learning. And so, you know, there's a ton of books that I've read, a ton of research I've done on so many different topics, psychological, you know, about resilience, about social networks, about digital media, about faith, about all kinds of stuff. We've done so much research over the past 8 years and 8 to 10 years. And it really just led us, you know, about 5 years ago to this revelation that we needed to start meeting people where they were digitally and doing so in an effective way that would actually connect us back to each other and what actually matters in life. Or just feel that the stuff of the good stuff gets drowned out in the rest of the noise.
I want you to focus, if you will, some comments on how the tribal app is different than, and by mission different than, just your basic social media that everybody knows about.
Yeah, well, social media is the human experiment where you let anybody publish anything and let human nature rise to the top. You've got dictate what rises to the top. You've got algorithms, you've got big corporate agendas, you've got, you know, it's this concept of more friends, more followers, more content, keep surfing, you know, and it's really where people end up going to check out and or to get involved into heated debates. And it's become the voyeurism of humanity, in my opinion. Tribal, as opposed to social networks, is a place where we want people to be able to go and check in. It's different than social networks. We call it the meaning network. We believe that leaders are so important, and so tribes are leader-led. We believe that local networks are the most powerful networks, and so we have a very hyper-local focus and emphasis. And as opposed to just anybody posting anything, we really encourage people to share their stories. So we're story-based, and we want to hear stories of hope, help, and purpose that can help connect people. Stories are the great connector. They're the on-ramp to meaningful relationships, and they're the on-ramp to meaningful resources, practical resources in our lives, and they're the on-ramp to making an impact in our communities.
When you tell a story, you have to be a little more vulnerable. You have to be a little more open about things as compared to just posting what your lunch looked like. So you're really trying to make it a meaningful place for people to spend time and read and maybe be inspired.
Yeah, and to feel safe. You know, they're welcome, their story, like, you know, there's no story, and tribal is not faith-based, but it is faith-friendly. And we just want people to know that no matter what the story is, there's always hope. There's always somebody there for them. And we believe, I believe personally, that God can use any story for our good, his glory, and the saving of many people. But even if you don't believe in God, I think stories are so important in that whatever you've been through can be used to make a difference and an impact in the lives of those around you.
Let's talk again about the sort of invisible hand that's involved here, because tribal's up and launched, and we're going to give you the website at a moment and more about it, but there certainly was a point where there wasn't any money, nobody was investing. What is this crazy idea you've got going, Rachel Jackson, and how do you work your way through that process to get to where you are?
Well, I never lost sight of the big vision, the big mission that God had called me on. I think for about the first 2.5 years, I used to worry about it. I used to be so anxious and just stressed. And finally, I think God just kind of beat it out of me, where he's like, just relax, like, let go. You know, if I called you to this, I'm going to make it happen. And I just can't tell you the number of times I've looked at the red line and something has come through. You know, I've never had to let my people go. You know, yeah, there's been bills that have gone unpaid, but I've been able to pay my employees, and that's most important to me. So he's always provided. And even now, though, I mean, with COVID and everything, we're a startup, investor pipeline's kind of dried up, you know, like we're, you know, kind of sitting here, okay, God, what's next now, you know? But I believe, and I've shared with my team, you know, and they're not, I don't know that they're all believers, but I shared with them, you know, like, look, I don't know where it's coming from, but I know it's coming. So, you know, this, you just have to keep your vision and your mission in focus, be willing to pivot. I mean, when things aren't working out, don't keep doing the same thing, you know, if it's, stay true to your mission, but maybe you need to pivot on your tactics or your techniques or your procedures, your TTPs, right?
Now that sounds like a military officer giving a lecture. We can relate to that. Let me ask you, Rachel, as you kind of look back now on life and say, based on where I'm at and what I've come through, would you still encourage young people to go through a stint in the military on their way to whatever they're going to become?
Absolutely. I think the military was fundamental to teaching me values in life. I think I needed to learn, you know, duty, honor, respect, integrity, personal courage, honor, loyalty. I said that out of order for the leadership acronym, but I needed to know, I needed to learn all that. I needed the discipline and the guidance and the mentorship and the hard challenges and to overcome obstacles, you know, and sometimes I see our world right now, and it's so hard for people to see how we can overcome obstacles. And what I love about the military is that I've learned that it's okay. I can be uncomfortable. I can go into new situations and I will survive. You know, nothing is as scary on the other side of it.
Absolutely.
As going through it.
Absolutely.
You know? And you have your brothers and sisters to go with you. Nothing's impossible. So I hope that for a lot of people, and a lot of soldiers, a lot of veterans. I know that there's a lot who are struggling with heavy, heavy stories, but I hope they realize that there's a whole lot of people out there. They've got a big tribe, and that they've got something instilled in them that the world needs right now. This idea that we can overcome anything working together.
So talk to them. You have three tribal, you have impact tribes, business tribal, and military tribal. Tell us how people, if this sounds like, man, this sounds something my organization or I personally or other, my church or somebody might be interested in. Tell us what those are and sort of how they might experience tribal.
Yeah, so you can go to our website, tribalapp.com, and just click the sign up buttons to get started if they want to do their own tribes. If you want to experience tribal first and see what it's like, we're opening up a tribe for all, for anybody to just kind of come and read our content and kind of get an idea of what it's all about before they start their own tribe. But we're looking for leaders, we're looking for partners, we're looking for content. So there's a whole lot of different ways to get involved.
And what's the cost model here for the individual who's sitting there going, man, this might be helpful to me, but geez, I'm not sure I'm in a spot I can do a big thing.
Well, for individual use right now, there's no cost. The organizations pay access fees. The cost structure for organizations is based on how many people they're going to have in their tribe.
Very typical. So we would encourage people to go to tribalapp.com to check it out. It's clear that Rachel Jackson and her team at Tribal are on a mission to do good and hopefully help you in that regards, sort of get your life together as well. You're a startup. How many years at this point?
About 2.5 at Tribal.
When do you, do you look at it and say, I'm going to be, we're going to be here in 2 more years? Or is it you just take it how it comes every month?
So I believe we're going to be there. I think we're going to be doing just fine in a few years. We're actually have some opportunities with the military opening up, the military and veteran communities, very excited about that potential. And then we also have some other opportunities opening up in faith-based communities and corporate America. So we'll keep on fighting the good fight. You just take a 1,000-mile journey one step at a time. So we'll just keep on doing it, and we'll be here. It's not going anywhere.
We really appreciate you taking some time today, Rachel Jackson, U.S. Army veteran, Apache helicopter pilot, entrepreneur, person on a mission, talking to us about your transition, your experiences, your faith and family, and the good work that everybody's doing at tribalapp.com.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.